Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, it's good to be together again. I was especially excited to see Stan and Pam. Last year, let's be honest, last year was rough. We almost lost Joe Testa. He almost was cryogenically frozen while he slept last year at Revive. The food almost killed us, and then we all got COVID. So my father-in-law said, you should call it Survive. I thought, it's good to be here. Let's jump right into the text. Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. We're going to read it, and then we'll talk and break it down a bit. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. This is Jesus. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him, and he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. The whole crowd was by the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. He would tell stories with deeper meaning to explain things about God's kingdom. And he was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Listen to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell onto good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop that produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Verse 9, and as he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him do what?
Hear.
So before we get into the parable, I just want to highlight that twice in this teaching, Jesus tells his audience to listen. Verse 3, he says emphatically a command to listen up. And then in verse 9, he says at the end of this story, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I think that's important before we get into the parable. And this parable shows up in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. And it is repeated. And it is said that Jesus says in one place, he says that if you're going to understand my other teachings, if you're going to understand my other parables, you have to first understand this. And he takes time as he tells this story, this parable, to get his audience to listen. In Matthew's version, it also includes this. It says that Bradley's going to advance the slides. He said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And his disciples came up and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. To those that listen, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. This is why I use these parables. For they look and they don't really see. They hear and they don't really listen or understand. And this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the heart of these people are hardened. And their ears cannot hear. They have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed be your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. So before we even get into the explanation of the parable, I wanted to highlight that Jesus says to us tonight, Jesus is speaking to you tonight. He says, hey, listen. If you have ears, you need to use them to hear what I'm saying. There are probably most of us in this room tonight have heard this parable before. You may have even preached this parable before. You may have even heard me preach this parable before, but you need to listen. You need to listen. You need to hear. If we don't listen, if we don't hear, we're going to miss what God has for us. And so Jesus, before he explains anything, he says, are you listening? Are you listening tonight? Pastor Sean yesterday called me and was like, hey, what's the title of your sermon? And I couldn't think of anything. And, you know, you want the sermon to be like a cool title, right? Because you want it to be like, oh, lightning flashes in your face. And you're like, oh, what's that? But the title of the sermon is The Parable of the Sower. I mean, that's the lamest title you've ever heard. So we better listen. Because the title and even the content may not go, ooh, what's he talking about? That's why Jesus says, listen. And so I thought before we even got into the parable, we could pray and ask that God would give us ears to hear. Let's do that. Father, we're hearing your son tonight who is saying, listen up to what I have to say. And I pray that you would open our ears tonight. Open our eyes that we can see. And open our hearts that we can understand. I pray that you bring clarity, that you bring life to the words of Jesus tonight, that those of us that know this already and the parable, Lord, that you would bring life through the words of your son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the goal of this parable, the end goal of this parable is to be fruitful, to produce fruit. The reason you plant a seed is not to see a plant grow, not for the roots to grow, not for it to get taller and taller, but the end goal of planting a seed is that fruit could be produced at the end. So if you plant an apple seed and a tree grows that's beautiful, but it's no fruit, failure. Not full grown yet. And so tonight, if you think of this in a spiritual way, are you coming in tonight? Are you coming into 2023 feeling fruitful? Do you see the evidence of God working in your life? Or are you coming dry? Are you coming hardened? Are you coming weary? Well, I've got good news. The goal of this parable is that ultimately, if we hear Jesus, our lives will be fruitful. We will see the evidence of what God is doing in our lives on the outside. Other people can see it as well. So if you're coming in tonight going, oh, you've come to the right place. Jesus is a good master. Is that like the understatement of the century? And Jesus is a good master. But the reason why I say that tonight is Jesus always tells his disciples the full story. He prepares us and he helps us, and that's what he's going to do in this parable. He's going to tell us the good, the bad, the ugly of being his apprentice. And ultimately what he's going to tell us in this parable is something that in the future, as we're following him, we can go, oh yeah, Jesus said there'd be days like this. So let's get to the explanation. We'll read it together and then we'll break it down. Mark chapter 4, we'll pick up in verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown in rocky places who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with what? Joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary then. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones whom seed was sown among the thorns. And these are the ones who've heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes what? Uh-oh. Did we stop listening? And it becomes unfruitful. Say unfruitful. Unfruitful. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you listening? Because I'm listening. Okay. Verse 20, and those are the ones whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so Jesus tells the story of this farmer who's very like ineffective as a farmer. It seems like he's planting seeds and he's just like, you know, he's like, oh, put some seed over here, over there, right? But he's not really talking about a literal farmer. He's teaching us a parable, and the deeper lesson and meaning he starts to explain that this parable is actually a story about how we receive and respond to God's word, to the gospel. And so he tells us there are four ways that we respond to the gospel. First, on the pavement, on the road, on the wayside, in the rocky places, in the thorny ground, and then lastly, in the good soil. And if you've ever planted a garden or tried to plant anything or tried to keep a plant alive, right, depending on your level, right, there's work involved in the survival of your garden. I love the word cultivate. The word, can you switch the word cultivate? There it is. Cultivate means to prepare or prepare and use for the raising of crops to foster the growth of. And so Jesus is talking about the cultivating of our hearts that needs to be done in order to produce fruit. And so we're going to break down each one of these four places and look at what do we need to do and cultivate in light of this. So the first one, let's go back. You can put it on the screen, verse 15. The first place is the road. Wrong way. Maybe it's my fault. Keep going. How do we go here? Go to Mark 4:15. Mark 4:15. Here we go. We'll read it together. It says, "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately who comes? Who comes? Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. The goal of God's word being put into your heart is so that it can be embedded so deep and remain so long and endure the different things that you need to endure in life so that it begins to change you and you begin to see fruit and life come from your soul. And Jesus says that before we even talk about growth, the first threat for God's word being fruitful in your life is that Satan is looking to come and steal it from your life, steal it from your heart before it even has a chance to get under the dirt. That ticks me off. Jesus is telling us that the devil is looking to immediately come and take away the word which has been sown in our heart. And so the principle that we need to understand here is that you and I, if we want to be fruitful, if we want to have that seed be deep in our ground and be fruitful, we have to be aware of the devil's attempts to cause the seed to be unfruitful in your life. There are spiritual forces that are against you. There are evil forces in this world that have committed their existence to stopping you from having a relationship with God. You read the Bible, it's just words. Has that ever happened to you? You open up the book, hey, you're trying, you open up the Bible, and it's like, what? All that you can think of is everything else you have to do that day. You go to pray and forget about it. You can't even lock in and say, "Dear God." Sometimes in your life, you may have a ton of confusion, a ton of chaos, dysfunction. Maybe you find yourself repeatedly failing. You try to pursue God and you keep hitting a wall. You try to overcome a sin and you keep falling back into that sin. Sin feels more powerful to you than the power that God has given you to overcome sin. If you ever feel any of those things, it's possible that it's because the devil is attacking you to stop you from connecting with God and having a fruitful life. You might just think it's you. You might just think, man, my ADD is flaring up today. Oh man, I'm really tired, or you know what, I'm not that smart, I can't understand this. Those all might be true. But Jesus just told us that the first threat against God's word being powerful in our life is that the devil wants to stop it from getting into your soul. And so that might be why you find yourself from time to time dry and disconnected, because the devil is working overtime to get you to withdraw and pull away from God. The devil hates you. The devil wants you to die. And so Jesus says, hey, disciples, hey, people that are following me, hey, people that have heard the gospel, hey, people that want to be fruitful, first thing you got to watch out for is that the devil's out to get you. That's a game changer. That's a game changer to recognize that some of the things that we're facing is because the devil is out to get us. He says that it's like birds flying in to the garden to get the seeds, right? So if you have a garden or a farm, maybe the people from Tennessee can help us understand this a little bit better. What do you do if the birds are coming to attack the garden? You know what you do? You put up a scarecrow and you put up a fence. If you know there are threats that you're facing from being fruitful and having a life that grows and that there is fruit in the end, are you going to do anything about it? Or just go, oh man, this stinks? Right? The farmer that wants to produce an abundant crop is going to take action to stop the crows from coming in. So tonight, we are hearing Jesus, and our response this weekend and as we leave has to be, okay, what am I going to set up? What am I going to put up so that I can keep that punk away from my life? Jesus said there'd be days like this. The second ground, Mark 4, verse 16 and 17. In a similar way, there are the ones who the seed was sown where? Rocky places. Who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. That sounds good. Yet, it says in verse 17, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So, the first part of this process, I'm leaving tonight determined that I'm not going to let the devil stop my relationship with God. I've determined that right now. I do not like that he doesn't like me and wants to stop me. I'm having a holy anger against him to set up defenses to stop his bum butt coming near my garden. Good. Step one. Step two now is that Jesus says that the second threat from the word being fruitful in your life is when trouble, affliction, and persecution comes. The word affliction means to cause a cause of persistent pain or distress. And persecution means to harass or punish in a manner designed to injure, grieve, or afflict. Specifically, to cause to suffer because of a belief. In Luke's version of this parable, Luke writes this. He says, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, but in a time of temptation, what do? They fall away. Okay, so this isn't the devil. This is just the general trouble and affliction and a persecution and temptation that we face because we're trying to live for Jesus Christ. And what it says is that in these situations, the people receive the word with joy. That speaks to a good and godly emotional response to God. Have you ever had God speak to you, right? Maybe you're listening to a sermon or a podcast or reading something and you're like, man, that was right from God. Right for me. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever read something in the Bible and be like, I've never read that before? Of course you have, but it's like God brings illumination and you get excited. Have you ever been in a worship night or a time of worship where you're just filled with joy? When we just sang Send Me, I'm like, God, I don't even know if I can sing this. Like, am I ready to go wherever you lead? Lord, help me. I want to, you know, and my heart is being filled with a desire to live for God. And then when they sang Yes and Amen, I just started dancing and moving. I'm filled with joy right now because I was in God's presence worshiping. That's good. God wants us to have that joy. But one thing that I've discovered about my life, and actually I learned this lesson this year. I often get convicted to do the right thing. And my zeal and my emotion fuels me to start doing the right thing. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. I could come to Revive and be like, yeah, I want to live for the Lord. I go home, I start making changes in that direction. It could be a bad thing. There could be trouble in my relationship, in my marriage, and my wife and I have an important, serious conversation where I'm like, man, I'm not doing what God's called me to do. I really need to step it up, right? And I go to counseling again, and I start reading all the marriage books again. I start concept praying again. How about that? And I'm ready. I want to do things right. I want to be a blessing to her and to my children. But then it just doesn't last. It just doesn't last. And what I realized was that my emotion doesn't take me over the finish line. My emotion and my joy and even conviction gets me started, but discipline and obedience and following Jesus get me over the finish line. And that's what he's addressing here. People who receive the word with joy and believe for a while, but then trouble comes. And I want you to hear this. Jesus said there'd be days like this where you're going to have trouble in your life, even as a Christian. Can you believe it? Do you have trouble as a Christian in Canada? What? It's not just like maple syrup and Mounties and... That was such a poor caricature. I apologize. It says that when we're like this, it's because we don't have deep roots. Joy, enthusiasm, conviction springs up quick, but no deep roots. Do you know the purpose of roots in a plant is fourfold? It's for absorption, to let the water and the nutrients come into the plant. It's for anchoring. It holds the plant to the ground. It anchors it. It supports it. It's for storage of food and nutrients. Why don't all the trees die completely and fall over in the winter? Because they've stored nutrients for lean season in their roots, and it's for the conduction and the movement of the resources to the place that it needs it. Root growth is a critical step in growth that is largely below the surface and thus unobservable. Receive the word with joy. The joy starts to fade. Trouble starts to come. It seems like nothing is happening. Trouble, affliction, temptation seems to be all that we're experiencing. And those are the trials, whether or not we are going to hold on to God's word, hold on to God's promises, or let go and take matters into our own hands. Oh, that must have just been a high. Revive was hype. That worship experience was just hype, and it fades when trouble comes and we give up and we quit. Or the trouble's coming, we go, Jesus said there'd be days like this. I'm holding on to the promises of God even tighter. I don't see anything happening on the outside. There's no fruit. Maybe it's because your roots are growing through the difficulty and you can't see it, but without them growing, you're not going to produce fruit. Could it be that when you're experiencing the trouble, the trial, the persecution, the affliction, that is actually where you are growing? Are you going through a hard time? Nope. I'm growing my roots. Are you dealing with difficulty right now? Are you being tempted to quit? No. I'm growing my roots, and I know you can't see it, but this is one of the most important processes that I'm going to go through in my relationship with God. Because if we aren't rooted, if we can't push through when things get difficult in our lives, when things get difficult in our lives because we're Christians or just because of the general trouble in our world, we face diagnoses and sicknesses and relationship conflict. Those are hard and difficult things. If we quit in those moments, just like a tree without roots, they're going to fall over. Those troubles coming don't mean that God doesn't love us. Those don't mean we reject God. Those mean, God, I need you. What is the seed? It's your word. It's the gospel. It's the truth that God loves me, even though I'm a sinner, that Christ died for me, that Christ was raised, that Christ is coming again. I need to hold on to that when things get difficult. Why would you let go of that when things get difficult? God is for me, not against me. He's working all things together for good, for those who love him and he loves and are called to be his sons and daughters. Why would you let go of that when things get difficult? Oh my gosh, the seas are getting rocky. Let me take off my life jacket. No. Every time you and I see the difficulty, see the persecution, see the temptation, and we stay faithful and push through the rocky places, we're building our roots. We're building our roots. So let's get to the third ground, the thorns, verse 18. And those, the others are the ones on whom was the seed was sown amongst the thorns. And these are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, they enter in and they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So far, here's our process. We are receiving God's word into our souls. We are believing the gospel. And the devil wants to come and stop you before you even get started. And what are we saying? No! Just so you know, by the end of the sermon, you're all going to be clapping and saying no. The devil's going to come. He's going to try to take the word from being fruitful in our lives. What are we saying? No! That's right. And we're recognizing that the chaos and the confusion and maybe the spiritual darkness that is coming our way and the disconnection we're feeling from God isn't just maybe you having trouble, but you're saying, no, in the name of Jesus, the devil, you are going to back off. I'm growing here. Get away. Get out of my garden. Get out of my heart. We're saying that. And now we're also saying, step two, trouble comes, difficulty comes. I'm not letting go. These are going to help me to grow. I'm not giving up when things get hard. I've got things I need to do to not let go, to not fizzle, to not fade. But the difficulty is the chance for us to grow. And so now we get to the third soil, which is the thorny ground. And most of us need to listen up to this, because this is the world we live in. This is the world we live in. It says that there are weeds or thorns, and weeds and thorns are suckers. There are only so many nutrients in the soil. And thorns and weeds grow quickly and choke the plant because they are sucking the nutrients that would allow the plant to grow and produce fruit. You ever notice that like weeds grow really fast? In Rhode Island, we have these briars that just appear out of nowhere. These hard green vines filled with thorns. Bradley, this thick. I mean, these are like sword thorns. You know what I mean? Like if you're in trouble, you just break it off and go, come on, I'm ready, you know? And like, it seems like overnight they grow. They grow because they suck the nutrients out of the soil. And if you don't pull the weeds and pull the thorns, what will happen is they will steal the nutrients that the plant needs to grow and produce fruit. So the thing is, they can't both exist in the same soil because there aren't enough nutrients to go to allow both of them to grow. And so Jesus is saying our hearts are like that. And there are things in the world which are sucking the nutrients from your heart that belong to God. Your attention, your time, your loves, your affections. There are so many other things in the world we're living in which are vying for your and mine attention. And so often we find ourselves, like he says here, it's the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Just think about that. The desire for other things. That could be a million different things in your life and in mine. Stress about finishing college. Stress about, even if I finish college, will I even get a job? Because having a bachelor's degree doesn't mean anything anymore. No offense to anybody in their senior year. Just, you're doing great. Keep it up. If I graduate, will I even be able to work in my field, or will I have to go and move back in with my parents? I mean, oh my gosh, I'm so worried about this. And even if I graduate and am marketable, will I ever get married? How can I find someone who loves God in this world, this soup of just nastiness? I don't know, that's why you came to Revive, but that's another sermon. And I'm not going to look at anybody in particular. Those of us that have children, those of us that are married, those of us that have mortgage payments, those of us that are trying to fill up our gas tanks. There's a lot of worrying that is out there potentially. There's a lot of other things that we could give our attention to. The world around us is screaming for our attention. John Tyson said that we don't have to be caught up in some major sin to miss the work of God. We just have to be distracted. John Piper said that my sin doesn't keep me from praying. My righteousness does. I'm doing good things and I don't pray. We are busy. We are overscheduled. We have too much going on. Our time is going like... We sit down to watch one episode, and then it's 3 a.m. and we're on season 6. Can I get an amen from somebody? The next one just starts before your and my butt can get off the couch, and it's just like, oh, we might as well just watch the next one, dear. We've got to keep working because of our spending. We've got to be at every event, and so what's happening is we are not fruitful because the nutrients that we have in our heart are being given to other things. And maybe we give God a couple minutes in the morning and the verse of the day. And we wonder why we're not fruitful. We're wondering why we're arriving tonight dry. We're wondering why we aren't hearing from God, why we feel powerless as the people that God has promised his power to be with. It could be because there are other things in our life that are sucking the limited amount of resources that your attention and your heart has. And so Jesus is saying that this third ground, the cares of this life, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches are coming to choke the word from being unfruitful. Oh, this plant is growing, but there's no fruit. The goal is not growth. The goal is fruit. The goal isn't just sticking around for 40 years. The goal is becoming more like Jesus Christ than I was yesterday. The goal is seeing peace, having joy, being loving, having self-control, being faithful. That's the goal. This person grows, but no fruit, because these other things in their life are sucking the nutrients away from what God wants to use. So what do we do with weeds? We identify them, we cut them, and we pull them. Now, you may not know what a weed looks like. It may just look like a plant. We had a plant growing on our patio. My wife put it, and she's not here, so I can say this. She put it in this big, beautiful container, and it was growing, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And for a while, I thought it was marijuana. The leaf looked just like a marijuana leaf. I'm like, what is my wife doing? Unbelievable. Wow. It wasn't. It wasn't. And I'm like, this is a weed. We planted a weed, and we gave priority spot on our patio to a weed. No flowers, no fruit, nothing. It was a weed that this, that my wonderful, beloved wife was planting and growing. Well, it turns out that my neighbor is a master gardener from the University of Rhode Island. And so she came over one day, we were talking, and I said, is that a weed? And she said, no, it's a something or other. Very memorable, whatever it was. It wasn't a weed. I needed help identifying what a weed was or what a weed wasn't. Sometimes they look the same. You may not know what's sucking the life out of your life. You may need someone else to help you, to look at your schedule, to look at your budget. Yes, and to talk about what you're doing with your life. If you say, hey, I want to be more fruitful, I think that things are being sucked out of me. You sit with your spouse, you sit with your family, your roommate, and you talk about it to help identify what those weeds, and then pull them out so you can be fruitful. So be aware of the things that are exploiting your life, your time, your heart. Don't ignore them and hope they go away. Cut and pull them. And then the last place that we want to arrive is in verse 20. These are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word and they accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. In Luke, when Jesus teaches this, in Luke 8, it says, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. And they do what? Come on, say, hold it fast. They hold it fast, and they bear what? With perseverance. This is where we want to arrive. Every single person in this room has the potential to be good soil. This isn't like a one-time thing that happens. We're looking at this parable from how can I cultivate my heart so that I can be good soil, right? And so the first thing we're looking at is that the devil wants to try to stop God's word from being fruitful in your life. And what are you saying to that? No! And we're stepping beyond that, and we're facing trouble, we're facing difficulty, we're facing tribulation, persecution, affliction, and we go, Jesus said there'd be days like this. This isn't stopping me. And then we see that the devil's not going to mess with us, and the difficulty we can push through, and we're assessing our lives to say, well, what's sucking the life out of me? There aren't any rocks. There aren't any birds. Maybe it's the weeds. Maybe my attention is too divided. Maybe my heart is too divided. Maybe my schedule is too full. The worries of this world are seeping in. I need to pull them out. I need to cut them. I need my heart to be prepared and ready to receive and hold on to the promises of God, to the truth of God's word, to the gospel, to hold it fast. We want to get rid of the birds, get rid of the rocks, get rid of the thorns in our hearts. Can be prepared so that if we stick it out through those three difficulties that we'll face, over time, growth happens. And over time, we begin to see that God's word is affecting us. And it begins to rise, and the roots are down deep, and we're holding fast, and we're persevering with an honest and good heart, and then one day, bink! fruit. Tiny fruit. Fruit nobody wants to eat. But I've been working on this garden for a long time. You don't think I'm going to celebrate when that little dinky little pear starts popping out? You better believe it. Because that's the goal of the seed being put in the soil to begin with. Not growth, not leaves, not roots, fruit. And there it is. If you see God working in your life at last, if you're more peaceful, if you're actually forgiving people, if you have peace when it used to only be anxiety, rejoice, there's fruit in your life. You've pushed through, you've held on. And then say, God, I need more of this. Your promise is not for a pink pear, it's for the abundance of fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold in this culture would have been an obscene harvest. Maybe they had 10. 30, 60, 100-fold is an abundance of God's fruit in your life, a complete transformation from a dry and hardened soil to a beautiful garden filled with life and color and delight and sense and fruit, because the power of God's word was allowed to germinate and marinate, and you are now proving that God is faithful with the fruit in your life. Good soil is soft soil. Good soil is cultivated soil. Good soil is nutrient rich. Good soil is where fruit can grow and thrive. Good soil is made through a partnership between the gardener and the creation. Good soil is made through a partnership between the gardener and the creation. So the process, right? You want to be grounded. You want to have fruit. Receive the gospel. Hear it and believe it. And you may not feel something that day, but something is beginning inside your heart. If you will believe what God says and believe the message of Jesus, you believe that, the devil's going to be out to get you. I don't know about you, but what are you going to say when that happens? No. Better? You're going to say no. Say no. Don't give the devil any access to your life. And then when trouble comes, you hold fast, you push through. You don't quit. You get knocked around, you get hurt, you get wounded, yes. But you don't give up. You don't let go. You don't give in. You don't say, oh, forget it. You don't leave. You don't hide. You don't isolate. You hold fast. You've already stopped the devil from messing with you. You better hold fast when trouble comes. And then you don't let weeds grow in your garden. You don't let things that belong to God be given to the things of this world. Your heart belongs to God, and the worries of this life have no right in your heart. You're saying no to that too. You could even clap. No to that too. Push through the devil, stay faithful in the trials, cultivate these weeds, cultivate these thorns, and you are going to hold fast to God's word in your life. You are going to be rooted and grounded with that seed embedded deep within you, and your life is going to be different, and you're going to be the person that you long to be. You're going to be the person that God has called you to be. You're going to be the person that God has created you to be. You're going to be the person that God longs for you to be. If you hold fast to the word through all those other things and say, God, I'm not going anywhere. I know you're not going to leave me. Bring on the fruit. And that's the key. Because soil can't remove rocks from itself. Soil cannot remove thorns by itself. The soil needs the gardener. The soil needs the gardener. We need God's help to move from all beside the road to fruitful. God's promise to you and I is to be faithful and to not abandon us and to help us in our time of need, to lead us not into temptation, to deliver us from evil, to back down the devil, to help you get rid of the thorns, and to transform your life. As we begin this weekend, the greatest thing we could do is cry out to the gardener and say, Lord, here's my heart. Do your cultivating work so that my life can bear fruit that will bring you glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for not abandoning the garden of my life when I have trashed it and neglected it, but that you've still cared about it and seen something that I couldn't see. I pray for each person in this room tonight that you would help us to say no to the schemes of the devil trying to penetrate our souls. No, in Jesus' name. Father, be the good and faithful gardener to remove the stones, to help us to hold fast to your hand when trouble comes. Be the faithful gardener to your people tonight, that you would show us the weeds and the thorns that need to go, the places we've devoted our heart and our attention that are just robbing our life that belongs to you, God. So God, we give you our hearts tonight, and we say, Lord, do with us as you will. Do with our soul as only you can do to shape this dry and weary soul and make it beautiful. So meet us in this place this weekend. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us, God, through the scriptures and the speakers, Lord. And we pray in the morning, help us to know and believe that you hear us and show us what you would have us do when we leave on Sunday. Not to just be joyful and let it fizzle, but to be faithful and then hold it fast with perseverance to the glory of your name. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.